have a good number here this evening, and I want to thank you for being here. I want to mention the order of our assembly this evening. I will have a short sermon, and then we will offer the Lord's Supper. Of course, there will be the song after the sermon, and then the Lord's Supper will be offered to those who would like to partake of it. And then we'll have the announcements, as we normally do, and then we'll segue right on into the congregational meeting after the announcements. If any of our visitors are here, would not want to remain, we'll, at the end of the announcements, give you an opportunity to leave. If that's what you would desire, you're welcome to stay if you would like to. But that's the way we'll plan to do that this evening. You know, one of the great tragedies of popular religion is that it has made God into something that He is not. You know, one of the most popular ideas is that God is love. Now, of course, that is true. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says plainly that God is love. But the Bible also teaches that God is faithful, and that God is holy, and that God is righteous, and that God is just. All of these statements express aspects of God's character, and He certainly exhibits all of these qualities in the purest and most absolute sense. However, none of these statements is the exclusive statement of the character of God, including God is love. You know, unfortunately, this one statement has been taken as the whole of God's character, and they have misinterpreted really that statement, and what has resulted is that God is not at all the God that we read about in the Bible. The view is that God is exclusively love, and the interpretation of that is that God is one who will never punish, or He'll never condemn anyone. He accepts us as we are, demanding nothing and rewarding everyone, provided that they're not a Hitler or someone like him. And so God is love, and He will not hurt you, not punish you. Well, this God is really just an idol. It's not the God of the Bible. It's a figment of man's imagination. It's that which God, which man has formed in his own mind. And so really, this God is an idol, which is really what idols are. Idols are gods that man has made. And so this concept of God, and this view of God, and this God that many people worship, and that they claim that they serve, is a God out of their own making. Now, God is a God of love. God is one who cares for people. But God's love, I think, is properly expressed in Ezekiel chapter 18. I'd like for you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 18. And I want to read just the last three verses of this chapter, verses 30 through 32. I think God's love in its proper context is expressed here in this passage. Ezekiel says to the children of Israel, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live." You see the love of God expressed in this passage? This passage is saying God does not want anyone to die in his sins. This is stated there in verse 32 when he says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies." He doesn't want anyone to die in their sins. This is because of His love. And He has provided all the means whereby they can live. That's the love of God. Now, God's justice is also expressed here in this passage. Look at verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. There's the justice of God. We see God's love in that He is saying, I don't want you to die in your sins. I want you to live. And He has provided all the means whereby they can live. We also see in this His justice. In other words, whether or not they live or not by God's grace will be determined by the choice they make. And we see God's love expressed in this as well, in that He is urging these people to make the right choice. Notice He says there in the latter part of verse 32, therefore turn and live. In verse 31, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? God does not want them to die. There's His love. He's provided all the means whereby they might not die. And He's also expressing His love in that He is calling upon them to turn and live. Cast away from you all your transgressions. In verse 30, repent and turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. He does not want them to be ruined. He loves them. He cares for them. And He is crying out to them, pleading with them to repent, to turn, to cast away their transgressions. And those who would then do that would find life. And that's what He desires. That's an expression of His love. It's also an expression of His justice in that those who do not do that then will not find life but death. God's holiness and justice allows the persistent sinner to die in his sins. That's what justice does. Look with me also in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22, notice that Paul here mentions both the goodness of God and the severity of God. He says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Do you see an expression of God's love in this verse? Of course, there is God's goodness. God has provided His goodness because of His grace and His mercy and His love for anyone who will access it and who will come to receive it. But He wants them to also consider His severity, the severity of God. You know, that indicates there's justice. There can be no justice without severity. Let me say that again. There can be no justice without severity. Where there is justice, then there are going to be then judgment upon those who refuse to come. And notice he says here, he says, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. The decision was theirs. They are free moral agents, just like the Israelites in the days of Ezekiel. They had the choice of whether to cast away their transgressions, repent, turn and live, or whether not. And that's what Paul is expressing here. It's up to you. And there's God's goodness, there's God's severity. And if you will continue in His goodness, then you will receive the benefits of His goodness and grace. He says otherwise, though, there's the other side of that. You also will be cut off. There is then the severity of God. Now, this is a lesson that many within the religious world today need to learn. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning, one of the greatest tragedies of popular religion is that it has made God into something that He is not. And they've made God into one who will accept anyone and everyone. No matter what they might do or however they might live into the fellowship, into His fellowship, and that they will be able to live in heaven for all eternity. The question many times is, who are those who are lost? Now, of course, we're not the judge. But God has told us in His Word that there are certain ones, because of certain practices, if they commit such, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or they'll be cast into that eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so there is that severity of God in those who respect the God of the Bible and who believe in the one and true and living God. It's then the one who's going to realize that's what God said. And if I persist in those sins, if that's what characterizes my life, then there will be the severity of God. There's going to be justice. But I also realize this is a God that does not want us to die. He loves us and He wants us to live with Him for all eternity. And that's the reason He gave His Son, which is an expression of His love, the means for our forgiveness. And if I will come to His Son, as the Son invites us to come, and I will render obedience to His gospel, in other words, if I will repent, turn from my evil ways, and I come to Him, then there is forgiveness. And there is God's goodness. There are blessings that come. That's the God that we serve. There may be some here tonight who have been thinking that, well, I know I'm not a very good person. I know, let me say this. I'm not talking about a person who sins, who repents, and is forgiven. We all commit sin at times. But there's a difference between the sinner who is forgiven and the sinner who continues in his sin. What I'm talking about here is the one who continues in his sin. It's the person who hasn't repented. He's not dealing with sin by repenting of it. That may be you. There may be some here tonight who's continuing in sin thinking, you know, God's love is going to overlook all of that and He's going to accept me into heaven. Even though I know there's sins that I need to get rid of, I know there's sins within my life, I want you to know there's the severity of God. I want you to know what God says, that those who commit such will not inherit the kingdom of God if you persist in that. And I said, because we have the love of God in our hearts. We're saying it the same way that the Lord said it to the Israel of old. Why should you die, O Israel? Turn and live. So that's what we're pleading with you tonight. If you're in your sins, why should you die? Turn, and you can live. Come to Jesus tonight. If you're not a Christian, come to Him believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on the basis of your faith, repent of your sins, turn away from all sin. Confess your faith and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. The Lord will save you. He'll add you to His saved body of people, the church. And then serve Him faithfully. And if you've become a Christian and you've fallen away, come back. Repent of your sins, confess your sins, and pray God for forgiveness. God wants to save you. He loves you, but He's saying, come. Why not come? All together we stand and sing.